Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Hind Securities Limited, I, Asta Jain, Senior Research Analyst from Hind Securities Limited, thank you all for joining Sustango Limited FY23 Earnings Conference Call. Joining us on the call today are the senior members of the management team, Ms. Vinita Rathi, Managing Director and CEO, and Mr. Nilesh Rathi, Executive Director and CFO, Sustango Limited. We will commence the call with the opening thoughts from the management, post which we will open the forum for Q&A session, where the management will be glad to respond to any queries that you may have. Before starting with the session, I would like to state that you will be kept on mute throughout the event, and all the questions will be asked by typing them in Q&A checkbox or by raising hand during or end of the session. In case if we miss answering any question due to time constraint, then you can mail your queries to cs@sustango.com. I would like to remind you that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that we face. These uncertainties and risks are included, but not limited to what company have mentioned in the prospectus filed with the SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you will find on company's website. With that said note, I turn over the call to Ms. Vinita Rathi. Over to you, Vinita ma'am, on the performance and strategic progress made by the company.
Thank you, Asta. Hello, everyone. Thank you all for joining me on this call. I have here with me in the same room, Nilesh, who is our CFO, and there are several leaders from Sustango team have joined this call who handle engagement and operation functions in Sustango. So on this call, I want to share with you the details of our annual results. I want to highlight, like, you know, how we want to position going forward. How are we consolidating our services offering and the ecosystem, the partner ecosystem that we are building with our customers and, like, you know, with our within our network. As Asta rightly said, of course, happy to take on any questions that you have for us. And in case if I'm not able to answer any question on this call, I will request that you send that question on our email and, like, you know, we will respond back to you accordingly. So for the people who don't know Sustango, and Sustango is relatively a new organization, we have just gotten listed 3 months ago. I want to start by giving a quick overview of Sustango as an organization. With close to 300 people, team that we have today, we operate from UK, US, and India. Indore, India is where, like, you know, majority of our engineering staff resides. We like to call ourselves as a digital engineering company with the focus on three key main technical areas offerings, as you might call, which are Web3, blockchain, data, and cloud. And while we are offering all the ancillary services, right, so web development, mobile development, QA, CRM, digital marketing, these have now become our ancillary services around the three main core technical areas that we want to focus on and that we sell our services in. With a solid team in UI UX, we are able to do all the digital transformation and product engineering work of our customers in-house. In a true sense, we are either our customers' only technology team or we are like extension of their in-house technology team. Our customers as of today is largely early stage companies and growth stage companies, ranging from small to medium size, and maybe 10% of our customers are probably enterprise customers and public sector customers. So this is where, we are today. We are continuing to spend, good amount of time, energy and effort, in building our positions as thought leaders in the three key, core technical areas that I mentioned we want to move towards. We continue to bag awards. A lot of leading publications continue to feature us in several categories. We are now a great place to work for at least last 2 years. And in fact, the one award that we did not mention in the investor call deck that we uploaded is the DNA Paris Design Award that we just got yesterday for one of the designs that we have done for our customer based out of US. And that is a testament to the UI UX forte that we want to build in-house for our customers. We had a fantastic last year. As you can see from our results, we had a 60% year-on-year growth in revenue, and that had put us our full year revenue consolidated to approximately 52 crores. And we had an EBITDA of 17 crores out of this and profit after tax of 14 crores. We would love to maintain the same rate of growth, in the coming years, and that's why investing back in building our sales and marketing team, pre-sales team, onshore delivery teams out of UK to begin with, and thereafter, follow after that. I want to also give a quick perspective of what we want to do in the next few months and this year. While overall industry is really going through a consolidation phase right now, we have seen stunning numbers coming, from IT sector in general for last 2 or 3 years. I think where we are at as industry and as a sector is we are in a consolidation phase, both from our employee headcount perspective as well as from our customers' perspective. We're going to use this time by reinvesting in our company to secure future growth. And when I say reinvesting, what I really mean is that we want to continue to invest into blockchain that has become one of our core expertise, data. And when I say data, I don't mean just aggregation, plain transformation and presentation, but I mean really generative AI driven insights from the data that we are collecting. So we have done quite a few projects using OpenAI by now, and that really leads us positions us very well for generative AI and in general AI ML space, and we want to continue to do that. At the same time, we have also started focusing on building reusable components so that when we are working for our customers, we get better utilization, better efficiency, and the better productivity. Because we have built these core components for generic services that we can reuse over and over again. We are also consolidating how we do delivery for our customers. So right from the discovery process to the delivery process, we are identifying what are the general components again that we can build once and then use multiple times. While we are focusing on maturing our engineering department, we are also focusing on investing into UK office. So we are expanding our sales team there. One of the goals that we have set ourselves for this year is that we want to focus on building larger clients and larger deals and enterprise customers, and get at least one of the blue chip customer this year. That's what we are working towards, and we are on the roadmap to make progress towards that. We are also speaking with few companies for the front office that we want to build in UK, very early level conversations, founder level conversations, nothing concrete, but we have started doing those conversations in last 3 months towards if there is an opportunity for us to have a joint venture, if there is an opportunity for us to leverage the expertise that they have built in front office for Sustango and become Sustango's front office. So those are the early level conversations that we are having at the moment. We have been a very strong believer in partnerships, if you're aware of the history of Sustango, majority of our client acquisition by until now has been organic, by referrals, from our network, right? We are investing in building and expanding that network even further. What I mean by that is that we are working with some of the founders, and we are investing either in their products, company, helping them launch products. In some cases, we are going in as a minority stakeholder. In some cases, we are probably going as a equal stakeholder. But we are trying to make sure that this not only gives us the upside if these companies become successful, but also helps us mitigate the risk that usually companies face when they work with early stage and growth stage companies, right? Because this will, the having equity in our customers' companies will align us with them in long run, and they will feel incentivized to use us for our services. We will feel incentivized for going extra mile for them. So that's the kind of relationship that we are building. These products, we are very selective about which company we want to invest into or where we want to take stake, in what shape and format we want to extend, say, credit line to them. It's highly dependent on the product that they are building, and it's we are doing it only for select customers. And either these products allow us to position ourselves as business domain experts or technology experts. And one such product that I'm really excited about, where we are, like, you know, in probably 3 months away from the launch, is an institutional grade crypto derivative insights and analytics platform. So this allows us to really showcase our skills when it comes to cross-chain liquidity aggregation, like, you know, giving ML powered insights. So we are using OpenAI models over there for smarter trade decisions and like, you know, minimizing slippage across blockchain, like, you know, trade execution. So by participating in a build of a product like this will allow us to showcase our blockchain skills, our fintech skills, our AI ML skills. And that is how we are making the decisions of, like, you know, where we want to get more closely involved versus where we just want to be transactional. Talking about, like, you know, future in general for this year, I am a little conservative, like, about the market, about how this industry is doing at the moment. And this is largely because of the small indicators that we are seeing based on the conversations that we are having with customers, prospects, and, like, you know, again, in general, in the network. In general, our lead times have increased. So from a first conversation to actually conversion to the customer, and that also tells me that everybody has gone very conservative. So that's from me, Astha.
Thank you, ma'am. With this, we start with Q&A session, requesting all of you to ask the questions either by raising hand and unmute yourself or by typing your questions in the Q&A chat box along with your name and your organization name. So before starting with the Q&A round, I would like to state that please introduce yourself and your organization name also. So Mr. Ayush Agarwal, you can ask your first question. Please unmute yourself.
Good afternoon, Vinita ma'am. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. You can go ahead, sir.
So this is Ayush Agarwal from Mittal Analytics. We run a PMS and also manage a family money. It is good to see our company coming out in the public and, you know, doing con calls. I hope this is continued in the future as well. Ma'am, I have a few questions. First is, like, since I'm very new to the company and I don't understand it very well, it looks like from the outside that we are trying to do a lot of things, right? I mean, that you mentioned about how we are, you know, building, we have built capabilities and now we have all these early stage companies and startups with who we develop these products and we help them develop these products or maybe even launch these products. And now we want to tap into the larger customers as well. And then on the other side, we are also trying to, you know, maybe have a minority stake in startup companies and scale up opportunities there. So if you can, you know, break down, like, at a very high level, what kind of a team do we have? What is our employee strength currently, and what kind of divisional breakup we have done for each of these segments, and, like, how does the organization think about that?
Sure, Ayush. So I want to begin by saying that I don't think I'll be able to explain you the whole org chart on this call, but I'll try my best to give the best answer that I can to your question. So you're absolutely right. Over last 10 years, we have happened to do a lot of things, right? And that happens when you are doing organic, like, you know, growth and expansion, because you end up serving the customer who has come to you. And that is what has happened with Sustango. However, in last 1 year, what we have tried doing is, number one, we have started becoming very selective who we want to work with. And how do we make that selection? So we make that selection by what is this customer, like, you know, wanting services in. And as I said, like, you know, when we look at the opportunity, we try to evaluate it from perspective that, is it going to use our blockchain capabilities? Is it going to use our data capabilities? Or is it going to use our cloud capabilities? That's one. We also look at, like, you know, what's the long-term potential? What's going to be the ticket size of this contract, long-term and short-term? That's second. And then third, we are also trying to position ourselves from a business sector expertise within fintech, hospitality. Probably these are the first two main ones. Again, like, you know, because of the existing customers, we have customers in edtech, And we are doing a lot of work in climate tech, energy tech, etc. But I think fintech, hospitality, climate tech is probably the three ones where we really, like, you know, are trying to again penetrate deeper. Going back to the team formation that we have, I think we right now must be having about 305 or 310 people. Out of this, we have close to 260 engineering headcount, 260 or 265. So those are like actual billable individual. I think out of those 260, we probably must be having about 200 or 210 like developers, developers who range from junior developer to like, you know, senior director of engineering. And like, you know, we have a VP of engineering as well. So they, from experience and depth perspective, we have tried making sure that we have good like, you know, representation right from O1 to say O9. So like, you know, these are the levels that we have right now in the organization, O10. I hope that answered your question, Ayush.
Yeah. No, that was quite detailed. So this 260 billable headcount that we have today, what was it? What was this number a year ago?
I think a year ago we must be at maybe two. I mean, I would just make this number up, like, you know. So please don't hold me accountable. But I think must be having close to like 200, probably 175 to 200.
Okay, got it. Okay. Understood. So, okay, that is interesting. So this is a 30%, 35% growth that we have seen in the last 1 year in our headcount. So ma'am, what I want to understand again is that, you know, this acquisition that we are trying to do with our customers, like what kind of investments are we looking at? What is, because ours is a small company right now, and we have just raised the IPO money. So what kind of investments will we be doing? What kind of money will we be putting in? And how do you think about these investments? Because our core expertise is technology.
Exactly. So this is a very good question. The way we are building this partnership is we go into this relationship by offering our technical expertise. So either we would give our technical expertise at no cost, or we would give it at a subsidized cost. Subsidized cost is probably where, like, you know, we are moving towards for majority of our relationships that we are building with our customer.
Okay.
So we are not then, like, you know, cash into our customers, like company. I think that's something that we will look to do when we do, when we like do an acquisition for building a front office.
And what do you exactly mean by this front office and this JV part that you mentioned?
So front office is having an onshore pre-sales team. So like, you know, sales team, marketing team, product team, and also some senior staff in engineering who are able to participate in pre-sales.
I'm not sure I fully understand this. So will this be for a customer or will this be for ourselves?
This will be for ourselves, so that we are able to, like, you know, on-site presence to our customers.
Understood. All right. So in the earlier model where we, you know, subsidize the cost, or we, you know, give the tech expertise for free, what kind of risk do we foresee, or like how strong is our due diligence there that, you know, okay, if we are letting go of our money, what is the probability of that coming back and maybe making more money on that?
So again, as I said, I don't think we have signed up a customer yet where we have said that we would work for just equity and we will not charge you anything. Okay. I think we have largely done subsidized rates, and I think that is on our margins. So we are definitely like recuperating our cost, and like, you know, instead of 35% margin, we are probably having like 10% margin. So that's like the we're doing work at cost or just above the cost.
Got it. Okay. And right now this 50 crores of revenue that we see, if you can, you know, break that down between different sectors, like you mentioned fintech, hospitality and climate tech. And, you know, if there are roughly what would our, you know, top 5 and 10 customers look like in this revenue, FY23?
So for the last year, I think our top 5 customers are probably accounting to, I would imagine, 40 to 50% of our revenue. And again, these are the numbers that I don't have handy, Ayush. So like, you know, if maybe I will send that to you over the email. Sure. But like, you know, just from top of my head, I think I would imagine for fintech, probably 40% of our revenue comes from fintech, and then maybe about 10% from hospitality. Maybe like, you know, another 10% comes from fantasy sports also, which we're not really focusing on. And then I think we would have like small chunks from other industries.
Got it. But I guess fantasy sports would use a lot of generative AI and these tools. So why are we not focusing here?
Look, I mean, as a small company, as you said, we are relatively a very small company, right? So we have to focus on one thing that we can do really well. Given that 40% of our revenue comes from fintech, and then we want to, like, you know, build our expertise around blockchain and generative AI, we felt that fintech can be one of the first good industry for us to focus on for both the use cases. And then there, from that point onwards, like, you know, we can expand to other sectors.
Got it. Just last question from me, if you can, like, you know, give one very technical thing that we may have done in the fintech space, and, you know, that of like company feels proud about, with an example of like what a, you know, offering was to the customer. Just this last question from me.
So this product that I was mentioning about, right, where we are involved, this is a analytics where we are collecting data from different exchanges, crypto exchanges, centralized and decentralized. We are aggregating them in our database, and we are running then few algorithms on top of it. And then we have built a Web3 platform on top of it, where we show customers aggregated liquidity across different exchanges on a specific pair of like tokens. We are showing them, if you were to do a big trade that has the potential of moving the market, how would you spread it across different blockchains on a, like, you know, relatively same pair with the minimum slippage? This platform also allows you to ask your queries in natural language. So all you would say is, hey, what was the trade on Ethereum? What was the biggest trade on Ethereum? Or, hey, where do I see the maximum liquidity for Ether token? And it will tell you, like, you know, it will run the query on the database and it will give you the results on its own. So it also has natural language processing that converts your question into a SQL query. I mean, not really SQL query, the query, and it runs it on the database that we have built for our customer, and then, like, you know, show it to the user. And this is all happening on a Web3 UI.
Great. That's lovely to know. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks for answering my questions.
Welcome.
Thank you. Next question is from Manhar Yadav. Please unmute yourself and introduce yourself, Manhar.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Manhar and I'm an individual investor and a BM. So I just have two questions. So the first one is, given that the size of a company, why do we plan to grow inorganically? I mean, at this size, the organic growth opportunity should have been large enough for us to grow. And given the profitability we have right now, you know, the ROE and all of that, so isn't that our internal accruals were more than sufficient enough for us to do any kind of such growth, even if we are planning to?
So if I've understood your questions, Manhar, correctly, the question is, why are we focusing on inorganic growth versus organic, right? We are still a small, relatively small company, and we could just be like growing ourselves organically, or, like, you know, build more momentum out of organic initiatives, right? So you're absolutely right. I don't think we are not doing any, we are not focusing on organic growth. We continue to focus on organic growth. And which is where I'm saying that we want to, like, you know, expand and build upon our sales capabilities, pre-sales capabilities, have an onshore presence, and have like a solid TechArcs team over there who can, like, really explain what we are doing, why we are doing, etc. So that's an effort that we want to go deeper on our organic track path. The reason why we are considering inorganic is, it just, in my opinion, and this could really be, like, you know, perspective driven. In my opinion, if you are able to build a front office that gives you, that saves you time of, say, a year by going inorganic, then you're literally saving 1 year growth curve, you know. And if you happen to have, like, you know, that one such company that you can grow inorganically with. This was one of our reasons behind listing as well. that by going list, by going public, it has allowed us to really demonstrate the value that Sustango has. So it just enables us to do better conversations, better quantified conversations.
Yeah, okay. One more follow-up on this was just that, we are doing, 14 crores of profit, and I've just seen your balance sheet, it consists of 13 crores of current assets. So, we are having this 27, 30 crore, and on top of that, we are again raising 30, 35 crore. Do at the size of our company, do we really need such huge amount of, cash to even grow inorganic?
To me, it's less cash than what you would really require, because if you think about it, 60 crores in dollar terms is probably $8 million, right? $8 million. If we were to go out and try to acquire a company, a complete good company in $8 million, it's really going to be difficult to get that value out there for the money that you have. However, this is a decent pool for us to go out and establish some kind of joint venture. And I think that's where we are moving towards.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar. Deepak, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself.
Am I audible?
Yes, you yes. are.
Yeah, hi. Hello, ma'am. This is Deepak Poddar. I'm from Sapphire Capital. So we are a family office fund. Ma'am, we have two, three questions that I have. Firstly, today as we stand, how many clients we have, and at what rate we are looking to increase those client number over the next 2-3 years? My second query is on your growth part. You mentioned in your opening remark that we are looking to maintain the current growth. So is it pure organic growth we are talking about here, or some inorganic growth is also factored in the maintaining of the growth that you mentioned? And what sort of margin aspiration we would have over the next 2-3 years? Yeah.
Thanks, Deepak. So I'll try to answer your questions one by one. From a number of customers perspective, I think we are serving about close to 25 to 30 customers at the moment. I think from a organic growth, so the growth that I said that we're going to have is all based on organic growth. We haven't factored anything inorganic yet because there's nothing on the papers at the moment. And these conversations do take time, to bring consensus. So this is all largely organic. Your third question, was around?
Margins aspiration.
Margins, yes. So, in my opinion, we had extraordinary margin last year. I would love to maintain it. Will I be able to maintain it? I think time will only tell.
Okay, understood. And in terms of client, I think 25 to 30 is the total number of clients at the moment?
Yes.
And what rate we are looking to increase, per year?
So I wouldn't necessarily want to quantify it in terms of number of customers. We would definitely want to go deeper, at least in our top 5 customers. I think I really see a lot of growth coming from there. And even going forward, what I really want to do as a company is get larger customers. So don't necessarily convert from 30 customers to 60 customers and double the revenue. I would ideally want to do 30 to 45 customers and double the revenue. So as I said, you want to have larger deals and larger clients. So I think probably 40 would be my sweet spot.
40 customers, in next 1 year?
Next 1 year is what I would want to aim for, yes.
And maybe once you reach that 40 customers, so from existing customers also, you're looking to deepen your penetration, right? That idea you'd like to do that?
Yes.
Yeah, understood. Fair enough. Yep. That's it from my side, ma'am. All the very best.
Thank you.
Next question is from Saurabh Sadwani. Saurabh, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm Saurabh. I'm calling from I'm from Sahasrar Capital, Pune. And we are a PMS.
So I wanted to know, Miss, we had very phenomenal growth this year. And so what drove this growth?
I think it's the strong, so it hasn't happened overnight. If you see our last 3 years numbers, for example, they have been growing, right? So like, you know, we had a good financial year 21, we had a good financial year 22, and then we had an extraordinary financial year 23. I think I would probably say that the effort that we had put in financial year 21 and 22, that paid us off in 23. That's one. The market situations were very, you know, favorable for IT in general, like last year, in my opinion, especially the sectors that we were like focusing on, which were like, you know, blockchain, data, and cloud. So I think all of them together gave us the results that we had last year.
Okay. So serve mostly early stage and early means smaller and medium companies. So there was a funding problem in the later half of FY23. So did we see any slowdown because of it?
Yes. As I said in my opening remarks, I am definitely seeing a conservative outlook, like, you know, everywhere from our customers, where they are taking longer time to approve a project, for example, from our leads also, which are taking like longer time to make decisions. So there's definitely a slowdown in terms of how quickly people were making decisions versus how they're making right now. And they have also gone conservative when they sign off on a project.
Okay. And you still maintain that you will be able to do the growth that you have done this year or maybe in the past 3 years aggregate growth?
I want to be conservative in saying so, but we will try our best.
Yeah. Okay. So I wanted one clarification about the business. So Fristango helps their clients to develop their software products. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we are not doing any back office or operations or digitalization right now.
No, so we do. We work with businesses for, like, you know, digitizing them. However, our core business is product engineering. So from a split of, like, you know, 100%, probably our 70% work is product engineering work. And 30%, I would say, is digitizing, like, you know, our customers' back office, front office, business flows, etc.
Okay. So the nature of these contracts is a long term, or maybe I think product engineering contracts are shorter than the digital transformation contracts, right?
Yes.
Okay. And a bunch of bookkeeping questions. So the first one is that we increased the intangibles and goodwill this year. So is that what you were talking about in the beginning about the products that you have been building? Is that the same thing?
So I think I'll have to come back to you on that, what that number means and how we have it in the book.
Okay. So intangible, shall I intervene?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Vinita, intangible is basically the that is related to that outhouse which has been built up for the right to use that outhouse for the employees of Sustango. So that is the reason this number has increased.
Got it. And how about goodwill, Bhavya?
Goodwill, intangible has increased. I don't see that goodwill has increased, right? I need to check on that. Intangible number has increased because of the right to use that outhouse for the employees.
Got it.
Okay. And also the trade receivables have gone up very significantly this year. So are we seeing any problems with the payments right now?
So this is also one of the signals that demonstrates us that there is a problem in the industry. Our usual, like, you know, payment cycle, which in my opinion is anyways very unheard of, our customers would used to clear our invoices like second day they receive or third day they receive. However, now they are taking, like, you know, the 30 days or 60 days terms that we have on our contract to clear, like, you know, the invoices that we raise to them. And I think this is a reflection of that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Here, I would like to mention that I'm requesting all the participants to limit their question to two at present, and later they can come back in the queue. With this, now the next question is from Brijesh Parekh. Brijesh, please unmute yourself.
Yeah, hi. Hi, ma'am. Congratulations. I have two questions. One is, I just want to understand from your side, what is your long-term strategy, especially over the next 3 to 5 years? Where do you see the company in that period, along with the revenue size and also the manpower which you think you want to hire in the next few years? And also, what would be the EBITDA by that point of time? That's my first question.
So see, I by nature, I'm a very ambitious person. And like, you know, if I were to give this answer 6 months ago, before I went through all these investor calls and participation, I would have given an entirely different number. However, like, you know, the number that I would want to quote for ourselves for 3 years, I wouldn't say 5 years. I think 5 years, in my opinion, is a long horizon. I'm aiming for, like, you know, next 3 years. And in next 3 years, in terms of our revenue, we would definitely want to cross, I would say, 250 plus. That's what I would want to, like, you know, put forward for myself. Now, how do we go about achieving that? I think I really see a lot of potential and opportunities when it comes to, like, you know, blockchain Web3 space. We want to position ourselves as one of the experts there. And that's where we have been building that practice. We also want to go inorganic. I think so. We wouldn't, like, you know, just grow organic and build this revenue number. I think we can hit this only if we are able to form a conglomerate of, like, you know, few companies who specialize in different technical expertise.
And ma'am, that's good to hear. And what about the EBITDA? Do you think that it would stay at a similar trajectory?
I think as you grow bigger, there's definitely an impact on your EBITDA. And I've seen industry standard is largely like 20% to 25%. I would definitely want to do, like, you know, along those lines, if not better.
Sure. My next question is, ma'am, what is your ticket size of the contracts at this moment? And what do you expect on the way forward?
So our average ticket size right now is, I would say, between $75,000 to $100,000. That's where we are at. However, like, you know, we end up making these probably out of like 10 customers, we end up having 4 customers as repeat customers. And that's where our overall relationship size increases.
Sure, understood. I'll get back in the queue. I have a few more questions, but I'll get back in the queue. Thank you, ma'am. And all the best.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Raghav Bhatt. Raghav, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself. Raghav, please unmute yourself.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I'm speaking on mute. Okay, so myself, Raghava, I work with an analytics company. I'm an individual investor. First of all, congrats on the fantastic results. I have two questions. The first question is, as I work with analytics company, I can see we are losing some projects because of the conservative market which you're talking about. Do you see that happening in Sistango as of now?
So we are not losing customers per se, but we are, as I said, like, you know, we are definitely noticing conservative outlook from our customers. And so there is definitely, like, you know, slowdown in terms of where we were probably providing 10, like, you know, headcount, they might have reduced to like 9 or 8, or they don't want to go to 12 like originally anticipated. So we are definitely seeing a lot of conservatism like towards that.
Okay, so you think the kind of growth we have from last year to from 2020 to 2023 is may not be sustainable going forward, like from 2003 to 2024, at least in the medium terms?
So right now, we want to maintain the same growth. Will we be able to do it or not is something that I don't think, like, you know, I'm positioned well enough to answer that.
Okay. Yeah. The second question is, I know you're talking about the inorganic growth, the acquisitions and everything. Can you shed some light on if there are some talks going on, or are there any chances of we hearing from you guys about acquisition in the next 6-7 months?
So as I mentioned, we are probably in an advanced stage of conversations with, like, you know, some of the companies around JVs, are not in outright acquisition, but definitely, like, you know, around the JVs. Now, like, you know, there's nothing concrete on the paper. There are, as I said, no term sheets or anything that we have exchanged yet. So it's not early stage, but it's like, you know, really advanced stage of conversations, but nothing concrete. Now, will it be finalized in next 6 to 9 months? I would love to do it. That's what I'm working towards. Will that happen or not? I think time is going to tell.
Thank you. I have a few more questions, but I'll wait in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of KB. Please unmute yourself and introduce yourself.
Hi, Vinita. I am Kaushik Bhusa from Mumbai, and I am one of your investors. I have a few questions. Vinita, when can we expect a dividend as we are growing at a very good speed? And the second one is, as we have 20 to 30 clients, what is our average contract size? And my last question is, please tell me about next year projection. Projection is about not just about numbers, but addition of client, new areas we are entering, like other countries.
Sure, Kaushik. So, dividends, I am not sure at the moment. I think the money that we raised 3 months ago and the cash that we have accumulated, I think it can go long way if we, like, you know, invest that back in the company, either in the form of building the front office or, like, you know, forming a joint venture. So I don't think I'll be able to give a concrete guidance on when we can start doing that. If we come to a point where we believe that, like, you know, we are not really able to make good use of the money that we have accumulated, I think that's when we will start looking at, like, you know, just giving out as a dividend to our shareholders. So it's really about returning best value to our investors and shareholders. From a ticket size perspective, are roughly on an average, whenever we close a new customer, we are looking at a deal size of $75,000 to $100,000. That's, like, you know, our sweet spot. However, out of every, say, you know, 10 customers that we sign up with, 3 or 4, like, you know, ends up signing us up for on an ongoing basis. So then the deal size really, like, you know, increases at that point onwards. From a projection perspective, I would love to maintain the growth rate that we have had from, like, you know, 21 to 22, 22 to 23. I think, but it's, like, driven by a lot of external factors, right? How the market evolves, like, you know, the space where we are operating, especially the early stage and growth stage companies. And also, in general, like, you know, IT sector, right? So, I think based on that, it's going to, like, you know, really demonstrate what's going to be our numbers for this year. And lastly, I think this year is going to be a year of investment where we invest a lot in building our capabilities and, like, you know, build for our growth in the coming years. So I've always seen this trend where you have, like, you know, you don't have that much growth in 1 year, but then because you have invested in the right places, you get better growth in the coming years. And, like, you know, that's how we have been working for last 5 years, and that's where we see ourselves going.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prahosh Rai. Please unmute yourself, Prahosh, and introduce yourself before asking the question.
Hi, Astha. I'm Prahosh from Suresh Advisors. So I have a couple of questions. Who are like your biggest competitors?
So, I mean, like, you know, our industry is very saturated and very competitive, right? So people might call any company who has a headcount of 300 people as our competitors. However, I like to, like, you know, call ourselves as a consultancy as well as integrator. And so we probably keep ourselves very close to, like, you know, companies like Accenture, for example. I think that have been, like, you know, that has been the track where we want to, like, you know, go towards, where we give a lot of consultancy to the customers we work with. And then when we are able to finalize their roadmap, then we also help them build and deploy, like, you know, the roadmap as well.
Understood. So, and one more question. So you mentioned that like 60-70% of your revenue or your work stream is from product engineering. So when you say that, it means that when a company needs to build some product, you are providing some, you know, say 5 to 10 people to do or to make that software or tool or integrate for them. Like, what exactly is it that you do? Like, if you can give some example, that will be helpful.
Sure. So, like, you know, an example that I gave early on where we are involved, which I really take pride in, is a platform that we are building, which is an analytics and insights platform on aggregated crypto data across several centralized and decentralized exchanges. So we have been instrumental in, like, you know, building the architecture of this whole platform, building the integration with learning models. So we are using OpenAI models over there. So building those generative AI models, building like data pipelines so that these models gets mature, like, over the time, building the UI that, like, allows users to actually query the data that we have aggregated and run the natural language queries, like, you know, that the examples that I previously gave. So, like, you know, give me the exchange that has the most liquidity in last 7 days, for example. So those are the kind of work that we would do. So, like, you know, again, at a high level, a customer would come to us, will say, hey, we are looking to build this. And this could be a small company, a startup company, or it could be an enterprise company who's wanting to implement blockchain for one of the use cases. They will come to us and they'll say, hey, we want to do this. And then we will sit with them. We will do a process called discovery, where we will try to understand what their goals or objectives are. We will try to build a roadmap for them that this is how they should go about solving this business problem using the technologies that they have on their radar. And then once they sign off on that roadmap, that's when we will go and implement, like, you know, that roadmap for them.
Understood. And so, like, main customers or like the primary revenue is coming from Indian customers, or like they are like more abroad? Like, how is that split like?
So we do not have customers in India, or we must be having like maybe one or two customers in India. Majority of our customers come from US and UK. So, like, you know, it's all export driven business.
Understood. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Piyush Jain. Piyush, please unmute yourself and introduce yourself before asking the question. Piyush, please unmute yourself. Okay, so we are taking another question till the time Piyush will get himself unmuted. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sahil Patni. Sahil, please unmute yourself and ask your question.
Yeah, hi. This is Sahil. I'm an investor based out of Pune. So two questions. You spoke, Vinita, about blockchain and Web3 earlier on. I wanted to understand now over the last 18, 24 months, like the blockchain, Web3, DeFi, these categories, like, you know, the work that's been happening, you know, they are currently in a slowdown, right? The market is in a slowdown. So is that kind of affecting your project pipeline in any way? Because obviously we've seen a lot of NFTs also that really got popular last year. They've been like, they're now being sold at like pennies and very less amount. So is that like, you know, affecting your business in any way? That's my first question.
So thanks, Michael. So see, I definitely there is a slowdown in the industry, not just in blockchain, but I think across other, like, you know, sectors as well. Within blockchain, we do a lot of variety of work in the sense that, like, you know, smart contracts, tokenization, and then we also do work around moving towards distributed ledger, right? So while there is a slowdown, I don't think there is a slowdown across all the type of work that happens within DeFi and Web3 space. People still see blockchain as future. I think it still holds its position as a distributed ledger, immutable, you know, with the immutable property. So the overall slowness is not just in blockchain, but I think across all other areas as well in general, and which has had an impact on our pipeline as well.
Got it. And with the recent, like, you know, scam that happened with FTX, and now the US regulators are really getting, you know, they're pumped on with, like, they're attacking Binance and Coinbase. So, you know, the whole ecosystem is a little bit, you know, on the edge, right? So in that sense, is that affecting your business in any way?
First, I think it's very important for everyone to understand that crypto and blockchain are two different things. They're not one and the same, right? What is happening in the trading space is not necessarily going to happen to blockchain in general also. And it's not really questioning blockchain's uniqueness and, like, you know, what it brings to the table. I think what has happened with FTX was largely a compliance and a governance, like, you know, issue that I can't really comment upon. But world is still open for innovation, and every single country has been trying to regulate crypto in general. Now, how that is impacting Sustango, again, like, you know, it's more of a slowdown effect that we have had, not necessarily, like, you know, an impact because of FTX or Coinbase or, like, you know, regulatory bodies marching towards Binance, for example. I think because it's an unregulated space, that's going to continue to happen.
Understood. Okay. And my second question was, Vinita, the other categories that you operate in, right, like data engineering, data science, app development. So in these categories, I wanted to understand, there are obviously other big IT companies as well who are operating, doing similar things. So what is that edge that Sustango has over some of these other companies? What is it that Sustango is doing differently in these other categories?
I think the agility that we bring for our customers. So, like, you know, when you go to a bigger company, it takes time to put the team together to actually deliver. Like, we usually have our products in production, like, you know, in 3 months. That's our average turnaround time, right? In bigger companies, it usually takes that amount of time to actually get the team up and running, gets contracts signed up, and, like, you know, have something in place. So I think the speed at which we work with the companies that we work with, the consultative capabilities that we provide to them. So, like, you know, I've said this in the past also, we are not just like execution people. Like, we won't just work off the specs that are given to us. We try to understand what our objectives of our customers are, and we want to work towards that, not just, like, you know, what is being asked. I think that's the major differentiator. And I think lastly, the value that we charge, like, you know, the amount that we charge and the value that we offer, I think that really sets us apart, other than all the technological expertise that we have.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Due to time limitation, we have to end this call here. However, if you have any queries, please email the same at cs@sustango.com. In the end, I would like to thank management team of Sustango Limited for taking time out and responding all the queries in great detail. With this, we are ending this earnings conference call of Sustango Limited. Thank you all for joining this call today. You may now disconnect. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you, everyone.